Morning.
Kenny, what's happening?
Hi. Are you ready for some real civic conversations?
Why not?
We have town hall meetings going on. It is on now, friends. Where are they going to be? Will they be in Brook Park? Will they be in downtown? Will they be in Collinwood? Will they be in Elyria? Will they be in the Streetsboro? Where will they be, Tone? Where will we put the Browns?
I imagine they'll just be in Brook Park.
Yeah, more than likely.
Seems like the Browns had kind of made up their mind on that probably a year ago.
Yeah, more than likely. However, it is fun to debate it, though. It is fun to debate. There was a town hall meeting of some sort yesterday. There were some people who were very strident in their comments. One guy said that he would help him pack. But either way, the city said...
Why would you do that? That seems like...
I don't know.
That seems like...
He's mad. I'm sure he's a mad fan.
That is the worst thing to do. Help anybody pack. Then you got to help them move. You don't just help them pack. You actually have to go and start moving
stuff.
Well,
how much pizza and beer do they have to buy?
Oh.
If you show up and help them pack.
And, oh, my gosh.
And it's always like a four-story walk-up.
Yep. Every time.
Every time. In Chesterland, Ohio.
What's worse, the bill left on Deshaun Watson or the pizza and beer for the people helping him move? Which one is it? Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think of that.
And then you're sitting there with your pizza and beer in a house that doesn't even have cable yet.
Yeah.
So you're just sitting there left to talk to the people you've been talking to all day. There's no worse experience.
Who knows what the Wi-Fi signal is?
There is none. Oh, I set up my hotspot.
That's how we know that we are actually good friends. Because we haven't killed each other for the comments that we've made about each other on the air. And then I've helped you move. I haven't helped you like the whole day. Like, all right, we're going to move this, this, and this. I helped you with the mattress and a couch when you lived in the
we went to the dump.
In the apartment in Tremont.
We went to the dump. Your weight belt.
And... Yeah, went to the dump. That was awesome.
I'd never been to the dump before. That was an experience.
For me, it was old hat. It was great.
He's a regular. Can I get the normal?
Lima, we were pulling in, we were backing in. Lima goes, you really know what you're doing here. I go, yeah, I've been doing it up once or twice.
Kenny, we'll just line up the usual for Kenny.
It was great. So yesterday, do you have the KZ audio?
I got everything.
All right, let's start with the KZ audio from a couple of days ago. This is Brian KZ. He's a councilman in Cleveland, and he started the tough talk and hit it.
Nobody should have the right to come into Cleveland. I don't care if it's the Cleveland Browns, Sherwin-Williams, the Cleveland Clinic, or any other organization that we support that could just be able to turn around and walk away. But if the Haslam Sports Group wants to provide a fan experience, put a damn winning team on the field.
Does that mean that the other businesses are failing? Because if they can't, leave until they're good, then the other ones that you're holding on, does that mean that they're failing? I mean, it's a great clip, and we'll play it forever. Trust me on that. But it's nonsensical. If they were good, you would, like last year, he would say, oh, now that you're good, you want to leave? That's it? Now that you're good, you want to get out of here? Is that it? But then you go, if you want to leave, you put a winning team on the field. We can't tolerate winning in downtown Cleveland. No. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Can't. I mean, I understand there's a little more invested in this than, like, say, a mom-and-pop place, but the mom-and-pop pizza place wants to relocate.
They can't.
No, they can leave whenever they want.
No.
The city should be able to buy that.
Put a damn winning pizza in the box.
I was really good at cutting those pizzas, Kenny. I was a machine.
Oh, man. I was good at folding the boxes way back
in there. Oh, that was fun.
Man. What if they were voted best pizza in town?
Well, that's
from Pizza Tasters.
No, that's a that's a subjective thing.
JB Power and Associates Pizza. They have another wing.
Best pizza.
Consumer Reports Pizza. Good, I love it. You better not name any pizza companies. There's There's another new sheriff in town, and he will come flying through the window at us. You better not name names.
The one from your neck of the woods.
Oh boy. Yeah, that is a never mind.
I was out there last week. He had bigger signs than the president.
Would you stop?
He had bigger signs than the president.
I live in that county. You need to stop. They are big signs.
They're the biggest.
They're like Bennigan signs. They're so big. They are so big. Anyway. Yesterday, who else was going on about this? Mark Griffin, who is the city law director, Mark Griffin. He was talking to the Gallics on Fox 8. Was this before we play the audio? Double Gallic?
I believe this was a double Gallic.
Both barrels coming at you with a double Gallic.
You're not bringing one Gallic to a Cleveland Browns fight.
So we got to get going on this because Lima.
Two-man coverage here.
Lima wanted to start an argument with me yesterday afternoon, and I kept going, shut up. Just do it on the air tomorrow. I'm confused, Ken. Okay, shut up. We'll do it on the air. So they want to bring out the Art Modell law and try to use that as a way to make the Browns stay. Here's Mark Griffin talking about the city that they're going to go to court with the Browns.
Writing the complaints, we're talking to our partners and making sure that when we go forward, everything is in order. We're going to follow the law. So we go to court with a complaint, which would require the Browns to permit a six-month window for another group to possibly purchase the Browns. The law says if they leave the city, they're subject to the law.
Here is Mark Griffin continuing saying the Brook Park move, he likens it to the Art Modell move to Baltimore.
We disagree. They're coming out of downtown Cleveland, where we have really supported them for a long time, and they're leaving the city. So it falls within the Modell law, and we're required to enforce it.
All right, go ahead. Tell me what you said yesterday.
I told you I was confused, and I continue to be confused, and nothing that's transpired over the last 24 hours has helped remedy that.
And why?
I don't understand what this big plea to try to keep the Browns in downtown for a bunch of the same people who behind the scenes over the last however many years I've heard nothing but bad things about what a hassle it is having the Browns for only however many games and how many days that facility is actually being used in a calendar year. All I've heard is what a problem it is and how it's impeded real growth on the lakefront. Now, finally, the gift is here. They're going to remove that. You're going to be able to take it down. You're going to be able to do real lakefront development there. You're going to be able to transform that area. And then it's the best of both worlds because you're going to get a world-class facility that's like 10 minutes down the road. Why is anybody upset about this?
I'll tell you this. The councilman Casey, I believe him. I don't know if he knows any better yet. But the other ones, like Mayor Bibb, the law director, all that stuff, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. For those reasons that you said. However, they need to quote unquote exhaust their resources.
Why?
To make it look good.
But it doesn't look good to me.
No. You understand?
What would look good is being able to redevelop the lakefront and then get the world-class facility 10 minutes away. That is the best of worlds. Are we fighting something and trying to make it worse?
Because who's going to buy the Browns? How much are the Browns worth?
Probably $4 billion.
So is it in the law that if somebody offers the money, they have to sell the Browns? Is it in that law that that the Haslams have to sell the Browns if someone matches what their valuation is to buy the Browns? It's an NFL football team. Somebody would offer to buy it from Timbuktu, okay? Are we going to do a GoFundMe to buy the Browns?
Timbuktu, the capital of Saudi Arabia?
I went to school with Tim.
Oh. Boy, you better put the safety on here. We're talking. I mean, you've gone from signs in Portage County all the way to Saudi Arabia. You better be cool. All right? Damn it. We've just started this. Going back to
He's an international man.
They got to make it look good, Anthony. They got to make it look good. When I'm hearing the councilman put a damn winning team on the field, he's not talking to. He has constituents. Fine. Is he talking to constituents? Is he talking to people that he knows that's going to get picked up on the media? Is there a guy in Brunswick goes, yeah, like the cut of that gym? Is there a guy in Geneva who yeah, damn straight. I mean, we all know what this is. We know what this is. We've talked about this. You and I have talked about this for 3 years. There's so many people who've called in before. You guys have way more passion than the city's had. I mean, what was the offer? What was the offer to give him? All of a sudden, Burke was available when you said it was completely off
in like
for years.
10 years, maybe.
Yeah. So you say you started talking about this in 2017. And the Burke all of a sudden, well, yeah, now we can give you part of Burke. Oh, okay. And we went over the whole city. We went over the whole deal. And you made it out to be, and this is the thing that Lima does. And I want to give Lima some credit here. I don't like to do it. Lima has had a lot of, there's been a lot of conversation with a lot of movers and shakers that get loose lips around tone in downtown Cleveland. And so Anthony knows the actual truth. And so what they're going to say when they're grandstanding at City Hall and what they're saying in their meetings with City Council is a hell of a lot different than what the real truth is.
I get it.
And that's what we've been trying to tell people for the last 3 years.
If the councilmen were fighting for trash pickup, plow services.
Well, no, they took away leash services. Remember, Daryl was upset about that.
I think they reinstituted it because of the outrage. But I would understand if they
Daryl's
were talking...
Daryl's got more done than half of them.
If they were talking... That's right. If they were talking to their constituents or to people that matter about things that matter, about doing more to fortify schools, to fix the buildings, you're talking about the Browns, which you guys openly say they don't do anything for you.
But no
one... The Browns do not help the state of affairs in downtown Cleveland. They don't. In fact, all I've heard over since the lifespan we've been on the air is what a drain of resources the Cleveland Browns are and how they don't really make up for it on the other end. And how so, it's not been this boon for the region.
But none of them want to be the person that, quote unquote, drives the Browns out of downtown Cleveland. Because this is what makes me nervous, is that, again, we throw the word opportunity around. You've had lots of opportunities to do a lot of things. And this isn't just, I'm not talking about the current mayor. I'm talking about mayor's past. I mean, go all the way back to before Michael White, if you want to, okay? Go all the way back to Kucinich, if you want to, okay? Like, you've had plenty of opportunities where a lot of guys have fallen flat, and women have fallen flat on their face. Flat on their face. So when we throw the word opportunity around, now all of a sudden you got to get something done. Because in 15 years, I can go, wait a minute, you were talking tough saying you can do X, Y, and Z. No. They're just going to throw it down. Hey, the Browns are 1-6. The quarterback situation is a total mess. We're talking about firing people. These are things that we talk about every single day. It's very, very, very easy to put the Browns up as a pinata and take a baseball bat and away we go. Very easy for a politician to do so. And if people want to call in and go ahead and rip the Browns up and down, I don't know, it seems to be our bread and butter at this point here because they're 1-6. You go right on ahead. But when it really comes to the civics part of this, you know the truth and I know the truth. I do not believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the city has wanted them downtown. And you stand with me on that. I stand with you on that. And so for the city, I think they're sitting like, yeah, go to Brook Park. Go do that. Yeah, make this deal. Go ahead. But no one wants to be the person, because they probably want to run for bigger offices than just Cleveland. No one wants to be the person who ran the Browns out of downtown Cleveland, because that is going to be in the future.
The problem
Mayor
with
Bibb,
that...
If Mayor Bibb wants to run for Senate someday, this is a mayor who couldn't keep the Browns in downtown Cleveland. Now he wants to talk about your financial futures all over the state of Ohio. You can see it already.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, Ken. I listen to everything
I listen to everything you said...
And I think under normal circumstances, that would matter, except for the fact that them leaving is probably better off for all the constituents in Cleveland. It's a better thing.
Probably better for all parties involved.
Plus, they can do everything they can to overhaul the public transportation to get there and make that even better so people can live here and go back and forth. And then if we get a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. Big Ten Championship, mm-hmm. WrestleMania, all
bowl
the big
game.
Events.
I want a bowl game.
All the
game.
Final Four, all
game.
The events that people want to have. You can,
Rock and roll bowl.
You can have better transportation back and forth so more hotels can open up downtown Cleveland. That's stuff that will really help the region.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So this is a good thing. So yes, you should want to help pack their bags. You should be the one want to be the councilman that aid in the redevelopment of the lake and also facilitate the Browns going right down the road.
We can't do it for a long
time. You should want to do that. You should brag about it. You should use that to help you run for higher office. What am I missing here?
Well, now this is what it is, Tone. This is what it is. All our hopes are now on Jameis Winston. Because you got to put a damn winning team on that field. Because if Jameis can't save this season to some degree, well, we ain't getting out of this deal.
Jameis will tear down 10 stadiums, but he'll build 10 stadiums.
The house that Jameis built.
Yeah.
Right there.
30
in
and 30.
Hey, Tone, I'm with you, man. You know where I stand.
Is he starting this week?
Yeah.
It's official?
Yeah. All that's right. Official.
All right. They didn't just let him know on Friday?
Excuse me. It was Tuesday.
Nothing is official.
The only thing that's official is maybe Bailey Zappi is joining the team.
He's going to be Bailey Zappi.
I heard Kaylee Bronson told him, hey, be ready on Friday. You might be in some packages.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I didn't want to follow up on that.
Come on.
It's a normal thing
to
do.
You can't say anything to Andy Dickerson or anything?
So that's your deal now, is at the ends of segments, you just go, here's fire, here's bombs. You did it to Rodney yesterday.
It's not the podcast, Anthony. We have to, like, bridge some things.
Wait, this one over the air live?
Yeah. What a tour de force that was.
They even put a red light in front of your face now, so you know.
Oh, that's right, Jeez. They did.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Kenny, yesterday I dubbed not just one of the 43 perfect days in Northeast Ohio. And it was a perfect day. I called it the best day.
I thought it was 45 perfect days.
Was it 45?
Yeah, I think it's 45.
45.
Have we gained a couple? Thanks to these beautiful Octobers.
Oh. You're just saying that because the guy who told you that is on WUAB 43.
Sometimes
Lorraine
he
Cleveland.
Is on 43. That's right. Jason Nichols. So I said yesterday was a perfect day. And I think I have to say it's the best day. Yesterday was the best day of the year. You had
it was a nice
peaking
day.
Fall foliage.
Wasn't too hot?
I didn't think it was.
Nah.
Didn't think it was. Now, I have said before I thought 72 and sunny?
Yeah.
I said I actually thought 66 and sunny was a better day.
That's a little chilly.
We got into a big argument about
it. That's a little chilly.
But I thought yesterday, if you include the popping leaves, which in my very upscale waterfront community that I live in, Kenny.
And what about it?
I thought it was just a perfect, perfect day.
It was a very nice day out.
Now, are the trees in South Bay any different from the trees
in technically, I live in South Central Bay. Which is a little different over there, the mean streets over by the railroads. Yesterday, Kenny.
On the other side of the tracks.
I stay away from there.
He knows better.
My family does not go there.
So, last night, did the NBA season, it started yesterday, but also basically came to an end. Celtics, 132 points. They connected on 29 of 61 three-pointers. That's 47%.
Well, you're telling me the season's pointless now?
Boy, it felt like it. It felt like it watching the Boston Celtics.
I will tell you why you're wrong coming up at 6:40.
Tatum had 37 points. He is on his vengeance tour for the scorn and ridicule he received at the end of last year where he did not even win the MVP of the finals. That was
his teammate. First game of the season, you psychos. Why don't you just relax?
And he barely played in the Olympics for Team USA. Humiliating. When he came out last night.
It's not humiliating.
And he hit 8 threes.
You people overreact. He had to pay homage. It's LeBron's last one. Who else was it? Is their last one? Kevin Durant's probably last one. Yeah, that's
it.
Olympics. So, yeah. Jason Tatum's probably going to have two more Olympics by the time it's all done. Yeah. You gotta let the old guys play. It's their final one.
Anyway, the Knicks and their new team humiliated 132-109. In the other game, though, the one everybody's talking about, it was the debut of the father-son connection, LeBron and Bronny. And what a moment on national television yesterday.
History, the first father-son duo to play together in an NBA game. This is all in the family. And what a celebration for the James family.
Ian Eagle, of course, of Turner Sports.
They missed an opportunity.
What was that?
To have Noah Eagle on the call with
Ian
Eagle.
Oh, my God. Well said.
Didn't want to overshadow it. But you're right. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, they'll do that later in
Redo
the year.
It.
They'll do that later in the year. That's right. Why am I not taken by this?
Well, there's been so much talk. It's
I'm
obviously
sorry.
A well-orchestrated event. Everybody knows that Bronny is really not deserving on his own merit.
And that's kind of what it takes it away from.
But I was not looking at it from his perspective. I continue to look at it from LeBron's perspective, which is how amazing this is that not only is he still playing, I mean, he had 16 points last night. He still looked like he absolutely can play at a high level.
He is.
The fact that he could do this, the fact that he could wield his power in such a way is, I think, to me, the takeaway.
Well, you guys hate me all you want, but it's the truth's the truth. This is what makes him the greatest of all time. Jerry Reinsdorf was never going to allow anything like this. I mean, he came out before a season and said, hey, take your pictures because this is the last year. This is all together. We're done. And the Lakers, hey, you want J.J. Redick to be the coach? We'll make him the coach.
And that's part of it,
too. You want your son to be drafted? We'll draft him. Oh, he has to be on the roster? We'll put him on the roster. Oh, he has to play opening night with you? We will play him opening night. There's nobody more powerful.
Yeah, who else could be more powerful? Like, Patrick Mahomes could not get his brother the viral sensation on TikTok. He couldn't get him in the actual lineup.
Well, they might need a receiver at some point.
This year. Patrick Mahomes may be able to get his brother lined up on
they
special
teams.
They
keep dropping like flies because he keeps throwing picks and causing them problems.
We're a defensive team now.
Oh, is that what you are?
Have you seen? You want to talk?
That's what you pay him $500 million for?
Owen, this is a segment for you. At some point, you tell me over the next month, you need to compare their drafts recently to the Browns. Because they got a lot of guys they drafted.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who are now part of one of the best defenses in football.
Nick Bolton. Let's start there.
Wait a minute, we're not doing the segment now.
Are you trying to make an argument that the Browns drafts have been
George Karloftis.
Okay
to do it?
Kenny, I would never do that. I just like to compare and contrast other teams.
I was about to say, that would be a very embarrassing enterprise for you. You can take that to afternoon drive.
Peter McGillicuddy.
Folks, your Cleveland...
You try to sit there and make an argument like that.
Your Cleveland Cavaliers, they tip off their season north of the border in Toronto, 7:30 tonight.
Ah, the great white north.
But they're still reeling, Kenny, from a winless preseason in which they have to pick up the pieces. Kenny Atkinson says they got to improve.
We haven't rebounded very well. Offense, I think we're 28th or something. And our defensive transition has been, say, average. Listen, these are new concepts. It's going to take time. Definitely an area of improvement for us. Our transition defense will be tested tomorrow. That's, you know, the best thing they do. So we got to be really locked in there. But that doesn't mean we're not going to the boards, right? We're still going to go to the offensive board.
Winless in the preseason and saying we have to do better. I will just leave that there.
Where have you heard this one before?
Well, they have the new concept of rebounding.
I just like hearing the dribbling in the background. It gets me excited.
They do lead the league in squeaky pregame stuff.
When they move to the new place, will we hear that in the background or will that be done? It's going to be bigger. I imagine it's going to be more soundproof.
I think they're going to pump it through the speakers that go through downtown.
Okay. I thought they could digitally remaster it so you wouldn't have to hear it. Anyway, this is Kenny Atkinson on how they're going to neutralize Grady Dick tonight. Oh, I'm kidding. He didn't really talk about him in the scouting report.
Oh, all right.
Grady Dick, you're not excited? Kenny, it's the opener. Come on, let's get excited. Meanwhile,
Is Ty Jerome in there tonight, or is he going golfing?
Come on. That's a cheap shot.
Yes, it is.
Finally, it was locker cleanup day for the Guardians, unfortunately, and here is Stephen Vogt.
We're disappointed. You know, we were right there. We felt like we were in that ALCS series the entire way. Any game could have gone our way, and we should be playing tonight is how we feel about it.
I think it's really interesting to hear the discussion after the fact on how this season went. A lot of people took that matchup with the Yankees in a lot of different directions. I saw people go right back to, well, the Dolans have to spend money next year. It's going to be this exact same thing. I'm like, yeah, you know, the Yankees obviously had a few more weapons. But I didn't think that series was, like, not winnable. Did you? Did you find that series to be something we couldn't overcome?
No, it was, I thought it was a winnable series.
I know they lost in five. But at no point was I like, boy, the Yankees, they're just on a different playing field.
No, you got in your own way.
Giancarlo Stanton was on a different.
He was, yeah.
So maybe don't pitch to him.
You can elect to do
other things.
There's certain people that just like Nestor Cortez, who did not pitch against us. Like, I was worried about him because he did not have a great season, but he was good against us. He's been good against us. Like some guys, like who was it? Trevor Bauer against Detroit. He always did well. Or was it Kansas City? Except for when he threw the ball over the outfield fence. Which one was it? There was always I thought it was Detroit.
Minnesota. That's all I know.
One of the opponents in the division, he was always just like every time he pitches against him, it's like he's going to go eight innings and he's going to strike out a dozen and you're just going to have to deal with that. And when Giancarlo Stanton comes up against us, it whatever ails him is going to be fixed. But other than that, I was like, man, you got in your own way a lot. That's like the lights were too bright in New York. The Rocchio air towards the end of game five, obviously that didn't help. But there was just so many other little things that, man, you could have done better and you didn't do it. But all in all, I still thought it was a wonderful season. I'm not going to say that it was a ruined season or a wasted year or anything like that. I thought it was a great season by them, and hopefully they learned a lot, and they will get better going into next year.
That's it for About Last Night.
Darius Garland spoke yesterday, said he's excited to start the season with your Cleveland Cavaliers.
Not nervous, but there's definitely some excitement. Getting ready for year six is super cool. I'm like a vet now. I'm an old head now, so they call me Unc in the locker room a little bit. So it's super cool, though. Year six, I don't have any jitters, but a lot of excitement.
I've had several people, non sequitur, I've had several people ask me, what age do I become Unc? Like, you know, that's what they call Shannon Sharp, Unc. And some people said, I go, guys, I have no idea. I don't know what age. I'm 38. And they're like, oh, I think you're Unc age. I go, well, I'm an uncle, but I don't know if I'm, am I of that age?
I don't call anybody Unc.
No, I don't either. But that might be why we're Unc, because we're too old to call
them.
Yeah,
that might be the case.
Yeah. Okay. Darius Garland says he's excited for the season. Darius Garland's the exact reason why I think the regular season does matter. Over-under's 48.5 this year. The win total, correct. And the over-under is 48.5. And I think a lot of people are just like, hey, man, like, you got opening night. There should be some excitement opening night. Cavs tip off against Toronto. They'll be back on Friday to take on Detroit. Rodney McLeod might be going to that game. We'll talk about Rodney coming up in a bit. They're back in Detroit on Friday. And then kind of for some people, the Browns were good last year, so maybe it changes this year. Like, I think for a lot of people, they're like, all right, when January came, then they were like, in. And then you get to the summertime, you want to see how far they go. I'm not going to wait for summertime. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about all 82. Because I don't think that they're going to finish the season the way they start with their lineup. I think that there probably are some moves that are going to be coming. Core four, they have the best of intentions. They have to be public about that. I mean, Darius Garland's play, I think, is going to be under scrutiny every single night for a lot of fans and for this organization. And what do they do moving forward here? Because Donovan Mitchell is the main cog here. Evan Mobley is the focal point of, does he finally take that next step? And he started out very young, so I use the word finally softly, I would say. But does he finally take that next step and become that dominant player that we need him to be? Like, those guys aren't going anywhere, though. Jared Allen, we could discuss him, but Darius Garland, I think that he's target number one for a lot of people, that if you make a move, that's where you break the glass. I defended him a lot last year. I think that I have to change my tune this year.
Well, it's interesting that they ran it back. There weren't a lot of good options for them when it comes to being able to switch up their roster, to try to elevate their roster. I mean, they were in a spot where there wasn't a whole bunch they could do unless they wanted to blow up their model in theory. And instead what they said was, we're going to change the head coach and change the way we play. And so what I'm really focused on is, aside from the obvious, like Darius Garland not having a season from hell and Evan Mobley being able to make the leap.
Slapped in the face and gouged in the eye every other night.
Unfortunately, that just seems like the way he plays. Mm-hmm. But just to be able to actually play with confidence again. I mean, his numbers all dipped. His three-point shooting, for him, really bad. I mean, he was down to like 36% when he's been a 40% shooter. Just those things are the obvious. I am curious about the way they play the game. Are they going to get up and down the court the way Atkinson says and use Evan Mobley to, like, instigate transition, because he can clear the ball off the boards and be able to get it going? Has he worked on his dribbling? His ball handling's been a little bit of a mess the first 3 years in the league. Is he going to be that unicorn type player? And then, can they do that and play defense? Because the reason they win so many games in a regular season is not because they're terrific offensively. It's because Bickerstaff had them as one of the dominant defensive teams, especially the way he used Allen and Mobley. Well, if all of a sudden their goal is to get out and run, their defense is going to suffer. How much is their defense going to suffer? And does that cost them games? Because I would have them with the over going into the year. Like, I think they should win 50 games.
Do you believe, not a loser's lament, but do you believe that being a defensive team is kind of a cover-up for a team that can't win a title? that can't compete, that can't seriously compete for a title. And maybe Boston's just that big of a juggernaut. Maybe I shouldn't hold them to that standard. I don't know. I think that that tends to suck the fun out of anything if we just continue to say that. So I'm hesitant to say that. But when we go, well, they're such a good defensive team, they're such a good defensive team, we usually say that because they can't score. Ah, they're such a good defensive team. Well, you got to do something well.
Yeah, and they could score more in the regular season. In the postseason, I mean, it was a bear. And well, it was the year before against the Knicks.
It usually is.
Yeah, they really, really struggled. But the hope all along is that Mobley in year four is just going to have a dominance about him in a way of life. Because last year, he did not make those gains until really the end of the Boston series. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, it clicked. You have an old man, Al Horford, on you. Let's go to work. And he did, because Mobley offensively was horrific in the series before against the Orlando Magic. And like, if the season would have ended there, we would have had a whole bunch of questions about Evan Mobley that I think that Boston series, I think he kind of answered.
So I liken this to a franchise quarterback that you draft, and maybe you're on or off schedule where if you have to make a decision between coach or player, you're gonna choose to move on from the coach. Well, the Cavs were not going to move on from Donovan Mitchell unless he forced their hand to. And he says back in January that he had made his decision, and I understand why he had to continue to hold everybody's feet to the fire. But now that that decision has been made and he's staying here for the foreseeable future, even though this could end up being a year-by-year deal, I understand that too, that you made your decision. You switched out J.B. Bickerstaff. You brought in a coach that you think is going to be able to help you accentuate all the positives that you have, and you're able to run and gun. If you're not able to do that, Donovan goes nowhere. I don't believe Evan Mobley goes anywhere. Jared Allen, exactly what do you get and what role does he fill? I want to see how that works out. I don't just want to say that he's done. Darius Garland becomes the conversation piece. But then it becomes the age-old question of what we discussed last year. How do I get a wing for a undersized guard? How do I do that? Because everybody wants to make those trades. And if you're so desperate for a wing, why is an NBA general manager just willing to give you up a wing to have the same problem that you have with Darius Garland? Other than, well, we just need a young scorer that can help us out and we're going to be in rebuilding mode, which is a possibility. But that's why I think that this regular season matters so much. They're a good basketball team. They should hit the over this year. That's all true. But we need to see how this matches up because our aim's higher. We have to see how we match up with Philly. We have to see how we match up with Boston, New York, whatever it may come. That's where we need to be. Not just, obviously, getting a home court advantage. I don't know how much that matters. I need to see the matchup when it comes down to the nitty-gritty.
Are you putting Boston maybe in a different category, though? It's how they match up with Philly, Milwaukee.
Possibly,
people have forgotten about Milwaukee, but if they're healthy, they're a different team.
But they're the ones that say if they do X, Y, and Z, they can compete. They might just be lying to themselves, but they're the ones that say it. So a lot of people are going to, when they say it to them as fans, they're going to believe them. They're going to believe them when they tell them that.